turtle created by the teams. As Jesper Fast will get to it. Sends across Svechnikov right on. Hellebuck gets to it. Svechnikov, second chance, hits the post. Oh, Andre Svechnikov with two golden opportunities in the first 20 seconds. And Canes keep it in. The shot will be into the body of Jesper Fast and right back to Jacob Slavin. His chance to score! Slavin from the blue line. Feathers one and it gets through Hellebuck. And 30 seconds in, the Canes have a hot start.
He takes a heavy hit along the boards. Now Aho trying to center it, gets it to Niederreiter, who jumps on. Niederreiter across for Chatfield. Chatfield wrists one right on. Rebound opportunity for Alves. They score! Sebastian Aho pulls his way to the goal.
Broken stick for Stasny. So the Canes trying to take advantage. Jarvis wrists one right on. Rebound out in front. Stall. Still loose. Niederreiter gets to it. Now it's Jarvis. Touch it out in front. Second opportunity. They score! On the power play. Martin Aches. Tenacious work by the Canes power play unit there. And they'll take the lead 3-2 with 20 seconds left in the period.
Slavin slows it down for Svechnikov. Back to Slavin. Svechnikov back to Slavin. His shot deflected out in front. Trochak, he scores!
Persistence. His name is Vincent Trocheck. And another power play goal for Carolina. They go up 4-2.
And now Winnipeg right back into the Hurricane zone. Either shot right up. Anderson with the save. Now it'll trickle through. Horn goes off.
Referees never signaled goal. Winnipeg signaled goal. The man with the button on the horn said it was a goal, but it's the officials in the striped shirts that have the big word right now, and they say, no, we'll wait for some replays.
I think that was a hope horn. Anderson makes what would be his biggest save of the game.
Uh-oh. Now an opportunity was feathered in by Teravainen. That's knocked away. Less than 10 seconds to go here in the third period. 5 seconds left. Right, Winnipeg right. With it. Connor crosses the Canes' blue line. He snaps a shot. That's blocked. Cop's shot is blocked by Niederreiter. And the game is over. And Carolina starts the road trip with a W in Winnipeg, taking this one 4-2.
This is the Canes Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. The Canes Corner Podcast is part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Canes Corner Podcast. I am Adam Gold. Wow, a dominant Carolina Hurricane performance tonight in a 4-2 win over the Winnipeg Jets, first of a five-game road swing, and a difficult one at that. Carolina just came off a six-game road trip. I mean, they played a couple of home games. I came home, played Washington, went to Dallas, came home against Buffalo and Ottawa, and then back on the road for five more games. And this is the first four in Canada, and these are all playoff teams. Winnipeg's a playoff team. I mean, I know Carolina was dominant tonight, but Winnipeg's a playoff team. They could very easily win the Central Division. Then you go to Calgary and Edmonton, two of the best teams right now, the two best teams in the Pacific Division. Then you've got Vancouver, who just fired their coach. Bruce Boudreau is now the coach there. And they should be better than they are, so you know it's a dangerous team. Some of their best players have done nothing this year, including Brock Besser, Elias Pettersson. And then you finish it off at the team that is leading the Central Division, Minnesota. So very hard road trip. Difficult place to play in Winnipeg to start, and Carolina just kicked the Jets up and down their own ice. 4-2 is the final. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. Siding, roofing, entry doors, storm doors, gutter helmets, they have it all. Sammy Hanna and his crew do a great job, and go check them out online, aluminumcompany.com. Pardon me. Somebody needs a sip of tea. Oh, feels so much better. I was going to say it's hard to put into words just how dominant Carolina was tonight, but I'm going to make it very simple to put into words. There are times where statistics lie. Tonight, statistics did not lie. How about this? At 5-on-5, and it wasn't a ton at 5-on-5, but at 5-on-5, this is what Carolina did in the game. 46-23 edge in shot attempts, 2-1. 26-11 edge in shots on goal, better than 2-1. 25-10 edge in scoring chances. That is what? 5-2, 2.5-1. 15-1 edge in high danger chances. 15-1, and the one for Winnipeg came late. It was utterly dominant at 5-on-5. But even in all situations, and Winnipeg had a fair amount of power play time tonight, almost 12 minutes of power play time. Carolina still dominated in all situations, and overall, Winnipeg's power play, all the power play time that Winnipeg had, and Carolina had some too, because they scored a couple of power play goals. Carolina just dominated across the board in every conceivable category. They won faceoffs. All the possession stats, Carolina was just way better than Winnipeg tonight, except it almost didn't reflect it on the scoreboard. This game was 2-2 late in the second period until Martin Natchez made it 3-2 with a power play goal. So Carolina dominated the first. It might have been their best first period of the season. Actually, I don't think might. I think it was their best first period of the season. Remember how good they were against Washington in the first period last Sunday night? Not a couple days ago, but previous Sunday. They got nothing out of it. Well, at least they got a goal this time, and they probably should have had three in the first period. And it really started off with the very first shift of the game.
Turtle created by the Canes as Jesper Fast will get to it. Sends across, Svechnikov right on. Svechnikov, second chance, hits the post. Oh, Andre Svechnikov with two golden opportunities in the first 20 seconds. Canes keep it in. The shot will be into the body of Jesper Fast and right back to Jacob Slavin. His chance to score! Slavin from the blue line. Feathers one and it gets through Hellebuck. And 30 seconds in, the Canes have a hot start.
I mean, honestly, Carolina did that in the second period too. We'll get to that in a minute. But that was the goal that Carolina scored in the period. They could have had others. There were plenty of chances for Carolina to score. An absolutely dominant period. But that play, that opening sequence, Staal, Fast, and Svechnikov, that line was excellent tonight. And Andre got off to a great start. He was all over the first period. And he did a great job. Got a couple of chances. I think hit the post in the second one. And then ultimately, Jordan Staal did a great job to bother, I'm trying to think who it was, might have been Adam Lowry, who ultimately knocked the puck to Jacob Slavin, but Staal really put a lot of pressure on. And then I think his screen in front of Connor Hellebuck allowed Jacob Slavin's low shot right along the ice to get all the way through for 1-0, but that was the end of it. Carolina had all the play and all the chances, 10-0 at 5-on-5 in the first period, a 10-zip advantage in high-danger chances. But in all situations, it was 10-1. 16-3, Carolina's scoring chance advantage in the period. 16-3. Somehow it was just 1-0. Absolutely amazing. But they started the second period off just as fast. It was the first shift of the second period that got it going. Actually, wasn't really the first shift. It was the second shift, but it was a continuation of the first shift. The Staal line started it. They got possession in the zone. They held it in there. Andre Svechnikov did a great job to hold the zone. Then he went off. Nino Niederreiter fed Jalen Chatfield, well out in between the rings, all the way up by the blue line. And what the Staal line started, Sebastian Aho finished.
He takes a heavy hit along the boards. Now Aho trying to center it, gets it to Niederreiter, who jumps on Niederreiter across for Chatfield. Chatfield wrists one right on. Rebound opportunity for Aho. Still loose. They score! Sebastian Aho pulls his way to the goal.
It was a great play by Sebastian, but it was really a great play by everybody on the ice. Carolina did a great job of hounding pucks. Nino Niederreiter came on. Andre Svechnikov took a hit to make a play. I mean, good stuff from your power forward. Andre was very good tonight. Could have easily been a star. I didn't give him one, but he could have easily been one. I don't think he was as good in the last half of this game as he was in the first half, but he was really, really good in the first 30 minutes of this game. But it just wasn't as noticeable the second half of the game. But Nino Niederreiter gives the puck to Chatfield. Chatfield gets a shot on, and then Sebastian Aho wins a net front battle. You love to see that from your best player. But there was a challenge. So Paul Maurice challenged for goaltender interference. There was no goaltender interference, and the penalty for challenging a goaltender interference is delay of game. You go to the box. Carolina on the power play. Winnipeg, I keep calling them Edmonton. Winnipeg has the worst penalty kill in the NHL. So Carolina's thinking, our power play is going to get well tonight. And Vincent Trocheck is whistled for a phantom hooking call on Dylan DeMello, and Carolina's power play is over. Not only wasn't it a hook, Trocheck never got his stick up on the hands. He also missed doing anything, but it was not a hook. DeMello falls down. It should have been a dive. But anyway, Carolina loses the power play. It's 4-on-4. Really nice play. Schmidt gets it up, diagonal pass, stretch pass to Stasny across the Nikolaj Ehlers, and it's 2-1. So Carolina, that was a pretty big swing. You lose the power play, you give up a 4-on-4 goal, and now it's 2-1, and Carolina then begins the parade to the penalty box. Ian Cole, really at the end of two really good plays, Cole breaks up a scoring chance, blocks a shot, and then the puck is underneath him, but it looked like he kind of gathered it with his hand and shoveled it under him. That's a delay of game. He goes to the box. Then after making a really good defensive play behind the net, he commits a tripping penalty. So he's in the box again, and on the second power play, the Jets finally cashed in. So now it's 2-2. So all the great work, you're still dominating the game. All this great work, and it's 2-2. But then Carolina gets a late penalty. Josh Morrissey cross-checked Vincent Trocheck, who was a pest of the highest order tonight in a good way. So Trocheck gets cross-checked from behind by Josh Morrissey. Morrissey goes to the box. It doesn't take very long. And Carolina has another hard-working goal.
Broken stick for Stasny. So the Canes try to take advantage. Jarvis wrist one right on. Rebound out in front. Skull still loose. Niederreiter gets to it. Now it's Jarvis. Tucks it out in front. Second opportunity. They score! On the power play. Marty Natchez. Tenacious work by the Canes power play unit there. And they'll take the lead 3-2 with 20 seconds left in the period.
What a bookend period, right? You score about a 1:20 in, and then you score at 19:40 of the period on the power play, kind of a backbreaker for Winnipeg, who thought maybe, you know, we've gotten our rear ends beat for basically 40 minutes and we're 2-2. We just got to win a period. Carolina goes into the intermission after 40 with a 3-2 lead. Then in the third, Carolina gets an early power play. Adam Lowry holds Brendan Smith an offensive zone penalty, especially against a guy like Brendan Smith, who I thought played a really good game tonight. And then it's Vincent Trocheck doing work at the top of the crease.
Slavin slows it down for Svechnikov. Back to Slavin. Back to Svechnikov. Back to Slavin. His shot deflected out in front. Trocheck, he scores! Persistence. His name is Vincent Trocheck, and another power play goal for Carolina. They go up 4-2.
All right, before we get to a very big moment in the third period, let us recap the goals. Hard-working goal for the first one. Jordan Staal makes a good play, stick on stick, kind of deflects a... just makes it difficult for Winnipeg to clear the zone. Slavin makes just a super slick play at the blue line, going to the left, but then coming back to the right into the middle to clear himself some room. And he takes a good low shot right along the ice. Jordan Staal with a net front bothers Hellebuck, and it's 1-0. So you have You have traffic in front of Hellebuck for the first goal. Aho wins a net front battle for the second goal. Goalmouth scrum for the third goal with Niederreiter and Stahl and Jarvis all around the play, and the Natchez in the mid-slot gets a... It really wasn't a pass from Jarvis. It looked to me like a shot gone wrong, but it went wrong in the right way. So it looked to me like he just fumbled it, but hey, better to be lucky than good. But Natchez is right there. He gets it through. But again, all of this work around the front of the net, and then Vincent Trocheck makes it 4-2, top of the crease, rebound opportunity. And all right, there we are, 4-2. Carolina feeling great, still playing great. And then Ian Cole Mark Scheifele knee to knee. It's a Cole penalty. I'm not even going to debate people about this. The referees were not awesome tonight, but Cole on Scheifele was leg to leg. I think it was knee to knee. It was leg to leg. Whether there was intent or not, we'll never know. I don't think there was, but I don't hate the call. I don't hate the match penalty call there. It certainly wasn't as bad as Vincent Trocheck's against Buffalo. That was a travesty. This one, again, I don't really think there was intent, but it was knee to knee or leg to leg, and that's what they're going to call. So Carolina, not only missing a valuable penalty killer in Ian Cole, who was, I thought, playing well. I know people are like, well, he's in the penalty box. Yeah, he was in the penalty box. He committed two penalties, but both coming after good defensive plays. And I also thought that they were kind of one he was hoping to get away with, and the other was just an accident. He made a good play, and his stick was there, and the guy basically stepped on his stick, and that was that. So you lose Cole for the entire five-minute major. Well, he's done for the rest of the game, too. And Winnipeg has a little life here. They're only down two goals. Five-minute major, you could score. I mean, remember when Vegas scored four against San Jose in a playoff game in the third period? So anything could happen here. You know what happened? The greatest penalty kill of the season happened. Carolina had almost no trouble killing off a five-minute major penalty. Winnipeg got two shots on goal. Only one of them was mildly threatening, a Nate Schmidt one-timer about 2 minutes in. That was it. And Carolina kills that off and then killed off the rest of the game. It was absolutely an elite penalty kill. Elite penalty kill. Carolina gets two power play goals. They do give up a power play goal, but they go 4-for-5 on the kill, including the five-minute major. I don't know why that's not like 2.5 penalty kills. You should get 2.5 for that. Second game in a row where Carolina's seen a match penalty issued to one of their players. Trocheck got one against Buffalo. That was bogus. The one against Ian Cole, I get it. Freddie Anderson had to make one great save in this game, and he didn't get a lot of work. But when they needed Freddie Anderson, right after it was 4-2, he was there.
Now Winnipeg right back into the Hurricane zone. Either shot right up. Anderson with the save. Now it'll trickle through. Horn goes off. Referees never signaled goal. Winnipeg signaled goal. The man with the button on the horn said it was a goal, but it's the officials in the striped shirts that have the big word right now, and they say, no, we'll wait for some replays.
I think that was a hope horn. Anderson makes what would be his biggest save of the game.
It was a great save because Anderson knew the puck was behind him. He didn't exactly know where it was, so he brought his leg back behind the goal line, and then he swept it forward. And that puck probably got about, I would say, a third of the way across the line before Anderson got to it. So no goal. They wave it. They didn't wave it off. They never called it a goal. They waved it off right away. The goal horn is deceiving. Frankly, I was surprised it didn't go in, but it clearly didn't go in. So Anderson, when he needed to, he made a big save. All right, a couple of guys who played very, very well tonight. This was encouraging, I think, from a lot of areas. One of the things that I have been looking at this year has been the play of Vincent Trocheck. And I think that at the very beginning of the season, Vince was fine. But over the last 10 or so games, Vince has not been fine. But he was excellent against Buffalo. He's my first star of the game against Buffalo, even though he only played half of it. And tonight, I thought he was excellent. He was a pest. He was good on pucks. He was good on the penalty kill. And he was at the top of the crease when he made it 4-2. I just loved Vincent Trocheck's game tonight. So that, to me, that's encouraging. I love the way Svechnikov played. He played a physical, dominating game. Again, for the first half of it, it wasn't quite as good for the second half of it. Sebastian Aho, great start to finish. Just great start to finish again. So this is, by the way, Aho, in his last 12 games, has 7 multi-goal games. In fact, he has no single-point games in that stretch. It's all multi-point. He gets 2 points like every other game, it seems. But Aho has a goal and an assist tonight. Jacob Slavin, a goal and an assist tonight. His first goal of the season for Jacob Slavin. Martin Natchez's second straight game with a goal. Obviously, he had the Trocheck goal. So the power play did well. Best players played well. I thought the Stahl, Svechnikov, Foss line was a great tone setter for this game. You know how the Islanders have the identity line? Well, that's their fourth line. Obviously, Jordan Stahl is not centering Carolina's fourth line, but that was their identity tonight. They played a hard, heavy game. Winnipeg's good. Winnipeg's big. Winnipeg's fast. They got a ton of skill. Carolina just didn't give them anything tonight. It was really, really cool to watch. On defense, no Pesci and D'Angelo. They're back in Raleigh, COVID protocol. They will not rejoin the team at least until Minnesota. And my guess is they won't play there either. I think the next time you'll see them will be against Detroit at home. I think Rod would like to get a practice in for those two guys who will be sitting around for what amounts to 2 weeks. So you have no Pesci, no D'Angelo. Ethan Bear was excellent tonight, I thought. He was okay first game back against Buffalo, but I thought he was dynamite tonight. And again, I considered him for a star. I also considered Brendan Smith for a star. I thought Brendan Smith was excellent tonight. Maybe we're grading on a curve, or it's all relative. Excellent for Brendan Smith might be just okay for other players, and I'll give you that. But I thought Brendan Smith was very good tonight. I thought Ian Cole, I get it. He's got 19 minutes of power of penalty minutes tonight. He had the major, two other minors, the game misconduct, all of that. You don't want to leave your team without a guy like Ian Cole as part of the penalty kill. But I thought Cole played well. I thought Ian Cole was a very good player tonight. So that was cool. But Niederreiter played well. Gosh, they had a lot of guys play well tonight. It really wasn't anybody who didn't play well. So those are the types of efforts, all throughout the lineup, all 18 skaters. One of the goalies, you don't need much for Monty Raanta tonight. But Freddie Anderson did his job. He didn't allow any bad goals. And he made the one big save you had to have. Once you get to a one-shot hockey game, anything can happen. So he kept it a two-shot hockey game. And that is very cool. Alec Campbell's going to join us in a second. Before we get to that, a happy 13th birthday to Taylor Jones. I was told today on Twitter, at a gold fan, if you are so inclined, I was told that currently 12-year-old, soon to be 13-year-old on Sunday, Taylor listens to the Canes Corner podcast, the Morning After podcast, on the way to school. Dad finishes it, and then she comes back and listens to the rest of it. Now, I could suggest counseling, but I won't. I will simply say, happy birthday, Taylor. Thank you so much. I appreciate you you enjoying this. And I hope you have a great, great birthday. My man, Alec Campbell,
Stormwatch, Aftermath, Intermissions, Hurricanes Radio Network. Before we start tonight, say happy birthday to Taylor Jones.
Who's Taylor Jones?
Taylor Jones is one of our brand new fans.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Taylor Jones. Happy birthday to you. Thanks for listening.
She turns 13 on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, exactly.
The ripe old age of 13. I remember when I turned 13.
Do you?
A big old blowout party at my house. Yeah.
Excellent. Was there a swimming pool involved?
No, there was no swimming pool. We didn't have a swimming pool. We had a hot tub. But the hot tub was not in use for my 13-year-old birthday party.
That's too bad.
That was the birthday party where I got Tragic Kingdom.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
Spiderweb.
I mean, top to bottom, just incredible album.
Yes, no question. Spiderweb, that's I'm Just a Girl. Gosh, I love that album.
It is. It's great.
I might stop doing the podcast, just go listen to that album.
Boom, do it.
All right.
There you go. Tomorrow, when you're not listening to terrestrial radio and you just want to listen to what you want to listen to, throw it on.
I'll pop it in on my ride in. I will.
Perfect.
I'm going to do that. As I'm taking Jack to school, I'll make him listen to Tragic Kingdom. All right, let's talk about, was this the Hurricanes' best game of the year?
I think it was, I mean, probably. I go back to the Toronto game. You know, I was thinking of the Lightning game after they lost in Florida.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the Vegas game on the first game of the last Western road trip, but it certainly in recent memory it was. But I mean, in terms of a game where the eye test and the metrics matched, it was basically 100% domination from Carolina. They right from the get go. I mean, Svechnikov gets two grade A's right off the hop, hits the post. First shift, they score a goal. They got three early period goals in the game, one in each period. I mean, aside from the penalties they took, there really wasn't much to complain about from their game tonight. So, I mean, it's just really top to bottom, they were good all night.
Yeah, first period scoring chances, they had 16 to Winnipeg's 3, 10-1 in high danger opportunities. 5-on-5 numbers for the night were just stunning. 46-23 shot attempts, 26-11 shots on goal, 25-10 scoring chances, 15-1 high danger chances at 5-on-5. Absolutely incredible throughout the game. Second period wasn't that different in terms of the way it started. Carolina had basically one long shift in the offensive end. They executed a line change, and the second shift came on and scored.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically total domination from Carolina. So there's really not a whole lot you can pick out aside from the penalties, and some of them weren't penalties. I mean, at least the Trocheck one, and then, I mean, I've got a quibble with the game misconduct again. I mean, I get it's knee on knee. I mean, first of all, how often do you get two games in a row with that happening?
Stunning.
Right? But I mean, I don't see the game misconduct portion of it, just like the last game. I mean,
it's automatic.
Yeah.
I think the game misconduct is automatic. Look, the Trocheck one against Buffalo, that was a mystery. That was an absolute mystery. Trocheck didn't do anything wrong there. I get the optics of it. He should have, you know, give him 2 minutes essentially for boarding Thompson. This one I kind of thought was a penalty. And I get the 5 minute major. I mean, I get it. So I'm not surprised because it was leg to leg. I don't think there was any intent, but I get what they saw. I think the video kind of supports what they saw. And the if you're going to give them a 5-minute major for intent to injure, then there you go.
I guess that's where I disagree with it. I mean, intent is hard to judge because none of us are actually in the head of Ian Cole. But I didn't see any intent from my perspective. I didn't think there was intent there. I just thought that once again, you had a player that kind of changed up his what he was doing.
Right.
And you had Cole kind of already ready to do whatever he was about to do. And they happened to bang knees, and it's unfortunate. But obviously you're judging intent if you're
right.
If you're given a 5-minute major, which I didn't see there. So, I mean, I don't know. It stinks. But hey, in both situations, I think the Hurricanes have responded very well. I mean, in the game last game against the Sabres, they had to kill like two minutes and 47 seconds of a power play to start the third, and they get a shorthanded goal. And then here in the third period, they kill off all 5 minutes of it.
They didn't
I like
just,
the way they responded.
They didn't just kill that penalty, Alec. They murdered that penalty.
Yeah.
They murdered it. Yeah. Essentially, Winnipeg had one scoring chance on a 5-minute major. That's it. And it wasn't even a high danger chance. It was just tremendous work. They didn't possess the puck. They set up once in 5 minutes. It was remarkable how good that was. That was one of the best penalty kills I had seen all year long. Because it was, you know, third period. It's not like the power play wasn't warmed up already. Like, it bothers me that you only get one kill for that. You should get 2.5 kills. If you kill 5 minutes of a major penalty, you should at least get 2, but you should probably get 2.5. They killed about 11 minutes of power play time. Actually, didn't kill all of it because Winnipeg did have a power play goal on the second Ian Cole penalty. You know, it's funny because Trocheck got a match penalty the other on Saturday against Buffalo, and I made Trocheck my first star. Now, I didn't give Cole a star, but I thought Ian Cole played well tonight, and he's got 19 minutes of penalties, and he had to watch basically the last 13 minutes of this game from the locker room. So I loved Ian Cole's game tonight. Just spent too much time in the box, I guess.
Yeah, it's been kind of a weird run for Ian Cole. Like, he's had 2 own goals, essentially, and then he gets one, and tonight he had 2 penalties in the second period, one of which leads to a goal, and then he gets the match penalty. I don't know. I just wish there was a way to give a 5-minute penalty, you know, a 5-minute major and not a match penalty with it. Like, I don't know. I just feel, or just give it a double minor or something. I don't know. I don't think it warranted an ejection. Like, I don't think it warranted an ejection tonight. And I didn't think it warranted an ejection the last game for Trocheck either.
Well, I agree with you on that. To me, Trocheck should have been a 2-minute penalty. I think the Cole thing was worse. But I agree. I don't think there was intent. But I'm not sure what the line is. I wonder if you give a 5-minute major, does it automatically come intent or otherwise? If you're going to keep it as a 5-minute major, does it automatically include the game misconduct? I think it does. I have to do my research on that, Alec.
I mean, it seems like that's the case. So somebody asked me tonight, and I really don't know the answer to it, but or, you know, if you want to give him 10 minutes, give him 10 minutes. I don't know.
A double major.
Double major, and then he comes back for, you know, 3 minutes in the game or whatever it was. I don't know.
Ian Cole needed the rest of the game off.
Well, they didn't need him because there was Jacob Slavin there, and Jacob Slavin was ridiculous. Best game of the year for Slavin.
Did you see how much he played?
29-51 tonight. He played half the game.
Yeah.
And he spent 6 minutes shorthanded, and he spent like 2.5 minutes on the power play. I think Jacob's legit on the power play.
He was very good.
I've been trying to say all year, like, he can pass.
Yeah.
He's a good passer. I think he's better on the power play than Pesce is.
I agree with you. I agree. First of all, can I just say, talk about the little shifty move he made on the first goal
to deep left
and then get to the center and get the shot through. That was just a slick little move.
Yeah, no doubt. I loved it. He was ridiculous tonight.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, he also had a couple of blocks. He had a hit. I mean, he was the best player. He's the number one star. First star.
No question. I thought about giving him both the first and second stars. Here's the thing about Slavin tonight. Not only did he play 29-51, I didn't look at it in the first period, but you could just look at the shift chart in the second and third periods. He played more than half of both periods. He was on the ice for more than 10 minutes in the second and third.
Yeah.
And the guy played 29-51 tonight. God. No other defenseman was over 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I love that. It was just so awesome. How about all four goals? You had there was puck retrieval and whatnot. I thought Staal made two great plays on the first goal. I thought he hounded, I think it was Adam Lowry, who kind of gave the puck away to Slavin in the at the blue line. And then Staal had the net front on the first goal. But then the other three goals were all hard-working goals around the goal, around the top of the crease. It's like, gosh, that was beautiful to watch. So there's pretty goals, and then there's the ones that Rod Brind'Amour likes, like those. Because there weren't slick passes. It was all about hard work and all that. So that to me, those are great signs.
No, I agree. Just get pucks to the net. Get pucks to the net and get screens, and that's what we're talking about. When you go in these scoring slumps, you know, it's like the way you're going to get back into it is to pick up the quote-unquote greasy goals. So I'm glad they finally did that. And I love that. I love the way they played tonight because, I mean, Winnipeg's had their struggles. I think they won their last two. They doubled up Toronto.
Yes.
They beat New Jersey before that.
They doubled up New Jersey, too. They won that game 8-4.
Right. But before those two wins, I think they had lost like 6 of 7 games.
They were 1-5-1. Yeah, in that stretch.
So they had been struggling a little bit, too. They're like a middle-of-the-road team. I mean, I'm not saying they can't beat you. Obviously, they can. They got some good players. They're also missing Neil Pionk, by the way, who was out because of a knee-to-knee hit. Although, I didn't see his knee-to-knee situation, but it sounds like his was worse than what we saw tonight for Ian Cole. Like, I don't know if Ian Cole's going to get – somebody asked me if they were going to get – if he was going to get suspended. And
I don't think so. The
situation that happened in – against Toronto sounds like it was a little more malicious and egregious. I didn't see what happened.
Was that against Marner? Because Marner's out for like 4 weeks. Pionk is serving a 2-game suspension, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think what Ian Cole did deserves supplemental discipline. I don't. I agree with you. I think it's a borderline 5-minute major. So I just don't think it's going to get any supplemental discipline. I could be wrong. In many ways, it's sort of like figuring out what goaltender interference is.
Right.
That it's really depending on the eye of the beholder.
Right.
See,
but anyway, Pionk had 16 points for them.
He's been very good.
But you factor in Scheifele and Kyle Connor. They have some good players on their team, and you're going to Calgary, and you don't have Pesci, and you don't have D'Angelo. I mean, that's a big win, I think.
See, here's the thing. I think Winnipeg is better than you think Winnipeg is. I think Winnipeg is excellent, and they went through a tough stretch. Blake Wheeler does have a goal this year. Are you kidding?
Yeah,
it's wild. Now, here's the thing. Blake Wheeler is an 8-time 20-goal scorer. In two other years, they were both shortened, one by the pandemic, the other by a work stoppage. And he was basically on pace to score like 24 goals both years. So he is, for all intents and purposes, a 10-time 20-goal scorer, and he has zero. That's mind-blowing. That's in some ways, it's like Jacob Slavin not having scored a goal this year. So somebody was getting there first. Well, or first in a while anyway. Slavin or Jordan Staal, who had... I thought Staal played a good game. He just didn't get on the score sheet. I loved that line, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
I could argue that was their best line, and they didn't get on the score sheet.
I don't think Winnipeg's bad. I just think, like, they're just not a great team. They're a good team. I like their players. They're not as heavy as they used to be. Like, they used to be a really physical, heavy team. They're not really that anymore to me. I think it was a good win. I think it was a really good win. But, you know, especially going into Calgary like they got on Thursday. So
yeah, Calgary and Edmonton back-to-back. That's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun. Before I let you go, and I tell you I made two different types of soup tonight, who are your stars?
I had Trocheck 3, Aho 2, Slavin 1.
We saw the same game.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, Trocheck obviously took that penalty, but it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah,
he got screwed. Like, there was no contact.
It was attempted hooking.
Yeah, it was like, I tried to commit a crime, but I didn't. And I got called for it anyway.
DeMelo dove. It should have been a dive.
Yeah.
I mean, how did he go down on that? Did he trip over his own feet?
I don't know. He wasn't even touched.
It was shameful. It was absolutely shameful that was called. And then, as you pointed out in the intermission, was it Morrissey stole his chain?
Oh, broke his chain? Snatched. He got his chain snatched. You don't snatch a man's chain. I learned from a buddy of mine, down in Atlanta that I used to work with, dude I used to produce a show with. He always was, that was like a major thing for him.
Yes.
Like, he was like, you don't snatch somebody's chain. He's like, you snatch a chain, and that's like, that's bad. That's bad.
So is that somebody's mother?
That's a fighting move right there. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that's so funny. I think they were looking around on the ice to see if there was part of his chain out there.
I think so, too.
It's dangerous.
I think so, too.
It's very dangerous. No doubt.
Speaking of, how about Aho army crawling to the bench because he lost the skate blade in the first period?
Yep.
Second period.
And Code Kiniemi tossing him over the wall.
Yeah. Like a little kid. He just like picked him up and threw him over the wall. Did you see how many minutes Code Kiniemi played?
No, I didn't think he was very noticeable. I didn't think that line was very good tonight.
He only played like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
They didn't play a lot.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, he's also not part of the penalty kill, so that has something to do with it. And Carolina didn't have a ton of power play time. Because they scored on both power plays, or two of the three power plays. So
they killed their only power play. One of their first power play they killed.
Yeah, he didn't even play any power play time. He only played 7:25. But again, I didn't think that line was particularly good. Stepan did a good job, I think, killing penalties when he was on the ice. But that line wasn't particularly noticeable tonight. But it's all right. He's been playing really well. So, I don't think there's no reason to mess with it. I'm actually looking forward to seeing, you and I are both, we stan for Derek Stepan.
Yeah. He had a good chance tonight at one point.
He did early on. Early on. I'm trying to think because I wrote it down. Stepan had a steal and a chance that when Hellebuck was wandering.
Yeah.
I don't know where he was going.
Oh, he hit the post. He hit the post, didn't he? Stepan?
He might have. Yeah, he might have hit the post on that. When Hellebuck was kind of wandering from a I think a tough angle. So you and I saw the same stars. By the way, I thought Ethan Bear was good tonight. I thought Brendan Smith probably played his best game. I thought Brendan Smith was pretty good tonight.
Yeah, he was good. I thought Ethan Bear was good. I thought Jarvis was good.
Yeah, Seth Jarvis was very good tonight. You know, he's from Winnipeg, Alec.
Yeah, I was going to tell you the same thing. He is from Winnipeg. Speaking of, I think we should draw every possible line over these next few games. Every possible connection we can and beat them all into oblivion. A shout out to, I think it was Steven on Twitter who was hitting me up because I tweeted out after Jarvis dished the assist that he was from Winnipeg. And I think I mentioned it twice in my tweet. But yeah, Steven on Twitter points out that we've got Fogle in Edmonton.
Right.
And we've also got Ethan Bear, who came, you know, that was the trade, right?
Yeah.
And we've got Nino Niederreiter with the Wild, formerly.
Right.
But we've also got, in Calgary, we've got former Kane.
Elias Lindholm and Noah Hannifin.
That's right. And Vancouver, I don't think there's really any. How many are there any connections in Vancouver?
Is Michael Ferland still on their roster?
It used to be Michael Ferland, but I don't think he's still there.
I mean, they're still paying him.
They might be still paying him, but I don't think he's in the league.
We'll visit the buyout cap hit of Michael Ferland.
But you know what? Screw it. Who cares? Let's draw the Michael Ferland connection too when we go there anyway. Why not?
It's been a year of reunions.
Right.
It started in game two with Kokkinen-Emi going to Montreal, or game three.
Yeah. Can we get the stories on Noah Hannifin and Elias Lindholm when we bump back from commercial?
Did either of them ever live with Sebastian Aho?
Doubtful. I don't know that any of them own houses when they were here. They were so young.
They were all young. Lindholm shouldn't have been here. Lindholm was only here because they needed to have a first round pick here. But he played 1 year before he should have. As a matter of fact, Carolina let him go play World Junior Championships for Sweden. They just let him off the roster to go play the World Juniors for Sweden. But I did appreciate the Seth Jarvis living in Sebastian Aho's house story, playing video games in Finnish with Finnish language.
Yeah, but I found myself wondering, why use Google to figure it out when you live with a Finn?
Hey, Sebastian, what does this mean?
Yeah, is Sebastian not allowed in Seth's room?
I don't know. It's very possible. Maybe they're socially distancing. Maybe Seabass is always in the sauna.
Could be. I mean, Sebastian lived there. Tavo basically lived there.
That's right.
And he's using Google Translator to try to figure out how to reset the machine.
And it's Kokkinen-Emi's Xbox, so he's obviously there all the time.
Yeah. I feel like there are resources there. You don't have to work too hard.
you shouldn't be doing the translation on your phone.
Right.
all right. So in the 40 minutes before the game, I kid you not, Alec, in 40 minutes before the game, I made not only a leftover turkey Thanksgiving soup, I also made a creamy tomato soup in the 40 minutes before the game.
That's impressive. Did you Did you make your own stock with the turkey carcass?
No, I didn't use the carcass. I used chicken broth. I cheated, but I used turkey. I used turkey from the Thanksgiving turkey.
I like it. There you go.
It's very delicious. So two soups in 40 minutes.
Man, that's impressive.
It was a race against the clock.
How'd you do that? I don't even understand that. That's like there's a glitch in the space-time continuum.
I think so.
You can make two soups that fast.
I had two big pots, but I had a lot of the prep work done ahead of time. I really meant to make at least one of the soups yesterday. I had a bunch of stuff already cut up and measured, so I just had to throw it together. But they're both very good. I've tried both.
Excellent.
I had competing soups tonight.
Which one won?
Tomato.
Yeah, tomato. Tomato wins a lot.
Yeah, tomato soup.
Did you make like grilled cheeses with it, or what?
I thought about it, but I had already dirtied enough pans, so I have a lot of cleaning up to do. So I just made a turkey sandwich.
two soups was all you could do. Just making the grilled cheese was going too far.
Yeah, that was a bridge. That was a bridge I wasn't going to cross. that was my night. So there you go.
Awesome. I love it.
Nothing else to report.
We didn't make soup. We made some salmon and just roasted off some little fingerling potatoes.
Oh, very nice.
And that was it. My kid was eating salmon.
Oh, he awesome.
Yeah.
Salmon's delicious. Why shouldn't he like it?
I don't know, man. You just never know. Like, there's so much stuff we're just testing with him.
Right.
But, like, we fed him, and then we cooked dinner for ourselves, and he is this point now where if you have something, he wants something.
Excellent. I love that.
There's no getting away from it. If he sees you with something, then he wants it. So he was just sort of grazing around while we were eating, watching in the living room, and I was like, all right, well, screw it. Like, you want to try some salmon? Here you go. And he kept coming back for more.
So you're on tray tables?
I was happy about that.
You were eating on tray tables?
Yeah, we were. Well, my wife was. I was not. But yeah, that's how we eat every night.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird too because I don't really like it. I wish we would sit at a table and eat dinner like civilized people, but we never do it. But like, I find myself like, now that I'm a father and like, I find myself, I've told my wife before, I'm like, listen, when these kids can like sit at the table and eat, we gonna eat at the table. All of them. We gonna have dinner together.
You gonna ask them about their day?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. And like, these are things that I never really considered or cared about as a kid, really. But like, now I'm like, our tables act more like storage units than they do tables.
100%.
And it makes me upset.
Yep.
And I want to like utilize the tables as they were designed.
Yep.
And not only that, but like, I think it's important, right? I want to.
It's family time.
It takes me to a place that I never thought I'd get to. Let's just put it that way.
You are the living embodiment of the progressive commercial.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. I watch the progressive commercials and I'm like, I don't see what the problem is here.
Somebody should have left earlier.
Yeah, the latest one where the guy's happy they parked so close to the stadium entrance.
Oh gosh, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like 100%. 100%.
Well, you have a wonderful evening, sir. And
all right,
I have some soup pans to clean up.
All right, You're supposed to clean those during the podcast, don't you know?
Yeah, but I couldn't because I do the podcast from the back porch.
Fair enough. All right. I'll see you in the morning.
Soon. All right, man. Thanks. See, if you stay for the whole thing, you get stuff that maybe you could use. I did. I made two soups. A tomato soup. It was very good. And the turkey, the leftover turkey soup. You put little balls of stuffing in it, too. As like a in place of a crouton. Very, very good. All right, so the Canes have a dominating 4-2 win over the Jets. They're 17-6-1. They have now won two in a row. They will be off on Wednesday, back on the ice Thursday in Calgary against the absolutely awesome Calgary Flames. The Aluminum Company of North Carolina brings you the Canes Corner podcast. Siding, roofing, doors, entry doors, storm doors, gutter helmets, windows, all of it. AluminumCompany.com. Go online. Free, no obligation estimate. Why don't you? Follow the Canes Corner podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can give us a rating. Review us if you want. Give us some feedback. Tell us what you like. And if you make a suggestion, maybe we could do something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Let us know where you are also when you're listening to the Canes Corner podcast. If you're walking the dog, let us know. Send us a picture. Send us a picture of your soup. Why don't you do that? That's happened before. Maybe I'll send you a picture of mine. If you show me yours, I'll show you mine. Until the Canes and the Calgary Flames are done, I'm Adam. Bye.
This has been the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You can listen to this podcast at WRALSportsBand.com or wherever you get your podcasts.